from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. The surprisingly hot weather earlier this week had a lot of people in the Bay Area daydreaming at their desks about redwood hikes, remote campsites, and lakeside lounging. We gather a panel of experts on the best camping and weekend getaways in or near the Bay Area. Where is your favorite weekend getaway destination? Forum Explorers, Warm Weather Getaways, next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of the Forum program. And the weather here in the Bay Area, just in case you somehow didn't notice, it turned rather delightful and summery earlier this week. It's gotten a little colder now, but as we shift from April into May and the summer months up ahead, we thought we would provide you with some expert recommendations of places you might want to go see, visit, hike in, or camp out at, or spend a weekend enjoying by yourself or with others. We have a panel with much combined experience in providing advice on such matters, and they are all people who spend a great deal of their time outdoors doing these kinds of activities of one sort or another. Brad Day is here. He's publisher of WeekendSherpa.com. It's a free weekly email about accessible outdoor adventures in the Bay Area, and welcome, Brad.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Okay, and glad to have you with us. Rachel Levin, is also with us, freelance travel writer who has written for the New York Times, Slate, San Francisco Magazine, Food and Wine, and Outside, and was former senior travel editor at Sunset. Welcome.
Thanks.
Glad to have you. And Peter Fish is here as well, editor-at-large of Sunset Magazine. Welcome, Peter.
Nice to be here.
Glad to have you all here. And let's begin by talking about wildflowers. Brad, maybe I'll begin with you, if I may. Hiking Mount Diablo, East Bay Hills, Point Reyes. I mean, wildflowers are out there, all kinds of places.
Yeah, you just nailed it. I mean, all those places are excellent. I mean, starting with Mount Diablo, it's a great state park, but it's one of these places that it's also very exposed, meaning if you go out there in July, August, it's going to be super hot. And in the springtime, it's really the best of both worlds because it's kind of nice and cooler, especially with the wildflowers coming into bloom in the last several weeks. And you can do a nice hike right from Juniper Campground, which is about 3,000 feet high on Mount Diablo. It's not quite at the summit, but it's a great staging area for doing a nice little walk, and you can see all the California poppies. You can see Douglas iris, houndstongue. There's lots of fun names for the wildflowers that you can see around Mount Diablo. And if you go all the way around, it's 6.5 miles, and it's just one of these bucket list hikes that you got to check out if you've never done it.
What is a bucket list hike for you, Rachel?
Bucket list meaning I've never done it, or I
never
have.
Done it, or you want to do it before your mortality cashes
well,
in.
Well, the one I actually have not done in a long time, I got engaged on this hike, and I would love to go back, actually, is the Tomales Point hike out on Point Reyes, where I think it's about a 9 or 10 mile out and back. And it's just gorgeous all the time, and usually it's windy. But this week would have been a gorgeous week to do it. And don't have a bottle of champagne at the point. It makes the walk back a little.
Excellent advice. And Peter Fish, let's talk about campsites. I mean, particularly as we get into warmer weather. What bucket list or otherwise at the top of your list?
I'm really enamored of the Sierra Nevada. And in terms of places to camp there, I think my absolute favorite, and it tends to be a little bit ignored by people in the Bay Area because it's kind of towards the southern end of the range, is the Mineral King Valley, which is the southern part of Sequoia National Park. And it is just a stunningly beautiful alpine valley. You get there from, you drive in a pretty windy 25-mile road out of Three Rivers. And but once you get there, in its own way, it's the equivalent of, I think, Yosemite Valley. So just, really pretty. Great tent camping. And then if you're not into camping, there's a really good kind of plush little resort called Silver City if you want to do the kind of cabin thing. But it's just a remarkably nice area.
Well, you did a whole issue on that on the Sierra.
Yeah.
And stuff. And a little, we want to stay in the Northern California area here, but on the cover there's a place called Crystal Cove State Park near Newport Beach in Southern California.
I'm a native Southern Californian, and I think Crystal Cove is, if you want a kind of classic Southern California beach experience, you really can't do any better than that. It's a gorgeous gorgeous stretch of coastline between Newport and Laguna Beaches. You get really good cove beaches, really good body surfing. There are a series of historic beach cottages there that you can rent, although they tend to get booked up pretty fast. But then on the other side, on the inland side of the Pacific Coast Highway, you have some very nicely situated campgrounds and trails that lead pretty back far into the Orange County Hills. And again, this time of year right now, it's pretty good for wildflowers down there with a sort of classic, you know, monkey flowers and paintbrushes and stuff. And it's a swath of Southern California that looks as if it could still be the 19th century, which I really like.
Well, let me get you back to the Sierra, though, because I've done some horseback riding in Tahoe, but we'll talk about the Sierra, I mean, in general in horseback riding.
So one of the nicest things I've done for Sunset in a long time was go on a kind of old-fashioned pack trip with these very nice people that run the McGree Creek Pack Station on the eastern side of the Sierra. And I just love the eastern Sierra. This is sort of the viewpoint that Ansel Adams made famous with his shots from Manzanar. And it's just this, you know, incredible sort of wall of mountains rising up in front of you with these very kind of deep canyons denting it. And in a number of the canyons, they have horseback operators that started basically because, you know, they needed to haul up, you know, mining gear and then even deliver mail. Now they've been turned to recreational uses. And the people that run McGee Creek have been doing it for three generations. And it's just, you know, it's an incredibly easy way to get really high up. You just sit on the horse, other mules or horses are taking all your gear up, and then you get to camp around a lake. And it is just so much fun. And, you know, you get to the top of you know, McGee Creek Canyon, you can look out over the White Mountains into Nevada. You just feel you're literally on the top of the planet. It's just, I think, a phenomenally beautiful place. And again, I think a lot of people in the Bay Area don't get sort of farther than Lake Tahoe, and this is a little bit farther, but it's really worth it.
Peter Fish, again, editor-at-large of Sunset Magazine, Rachel Levin, freelance travel writer. If you get to Lake Tahoe, you kind of recommend maybe thinking about getting yourself a house rather than a hotel, and I believe you feel the same way about up in Inverness and around Point Reyes.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean, I love hotels and always don't mind staying in a nice hotel, but lately, and maybe it's because I've had kids, I've sort of come around on renting houses, and there's in certain places where renting a house is actually better in so many ways than a hotel, especially in spots like Point Reyes or Tahoe, where there aren't very many accommodations. So you can go on VRBO or Airbnb, and if you have a discerning eye, you can scroll around and find some really special spots. In Point Reyes, I'm actually going next weekend to one of my favorite house rentals, which has a Dutch door on top of the ridge with a patio and views that I don't think any hotel in the area has. And I've also rented an old chicken coop in Marshall. And one friends and I went and rented a beautiful house with a lap pool and a live living garden roof in Point Reyes Station once. And so there's so many options. I do love, you know, Manka's Lodge, which burned down, and they still run.
It was the
really...
Czech food there, yeah.
Oh, the Czech food. Yeah, yeah, that place
Flat
is okay,
beers, right?
But for beers, I think. Yeah. But Manka still runs these really special cabins, which will cost you a bundle, but they're quite special.
Old-time listeners will remember Juanita also up there, but I don't think she's still around. I don't think she's still around.
I don't know.
Let me ask you, you mentioned having kids now. I mean, great places to get away with kids falls in a whole different category. I mean, I know you, I think you're on record as saying Solage is really good for kids.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I had kids, I was thinking, how can I still do quick weekend getaways and make them fun? And I think Solage is the kind of spot that actually you can still do that because it's, you feel sort of away. There's a beautiful pool, the weather's warm, but there's also a kid's pool right next door. So your husband can take the kids to the kid pool. You can, you know, swim some laps, have a cocktail by the large pool, and everyone has a good time.
This is sounding hedonistic here slightly. Right? you say taking a toddler up to Geyserville is a great weekend?
Oh, yeah. I actually think that is fun. I mean, Napa can be crowded and not always accommodating with little kids running around the property, picnicking and things. But I found... I did a story for Sunset a couple of years ago on Geyserville, and there's some just beautiful low-key wineries where you can grab some wine, hang on the grass. There's often live music, and it's a gorgeous day. And the Coppola public pool is right around there as well. And so if you reserve ahead of time a cabana there, it could be a great day.
And Brad, they were the great Sherpa sites for you.
Oh, I mean, you guys talked about Point Reyes. And that's just kind of the nucleus of all great things outdoors, I think. And in the Bay Area, it's only an hour and some change from San Francisco. And I mean, right now is probably one of the most prime times to be in Point Reyes. I mean, it sticks out about 10 miles into the ocean, and it's just phenomenal for gray whale watching.
Which is going on really into June.
Yeah, I mean, they really, a lot of people say March, April is kind of like the peak time, but I've seen them up into June at Point Reyes, and you can kind of get a nice trifecta at this place called Chimney Rock in Point Reyes, where you get like 50 different types of wildflowers. You can also see some of the gray whales if you're lucky, and down in the beach coves below are elephant seals. So you get all this kind of outdoor sensory overload if you're coming from the streets of San Francisco, right in Point Reyes. And not only that, it's also a great place to go camping. They have four phenomenal walk-in campgrounds that are pretty tough to get. Wildcat Camp is one of my all-time favorites. It's only about 7 sites there. It's right on the bluff. It's about a 5-mile walk-in. So if you're just kind of wanting to dip your pinky toe into the backpacking experience, highly recommend trying out going into one of the Point Reyes walk-in campgrounds and Wildcat. If you can get a spot, is absolutely beautiful. It's only about a mile away from Alamir Falls, which is a stunning 50-foot waterfall that jumps off of a cliff right onto the beach. You've probably seen photos of this around, but it's a great place to go. If I have some free time, Point Reyes is always at the top of the list.
Well, some of you listening may want to put something at the top of your list. You may want to let us know what's at the top of your list, or maybe even on your bucket wish list, since that came up here, or places that you would like to find out more about. We have three experts here talking about warm weather getaways, and you are welcome to join us with your contributions in terms of what you would like to see people maybe come to, but not in great numbers, or know about, and what you'd like to know about as well. Our toll-free number is available now. It's 866-733-6786, and you can join us now, so please feel free to do so by phone. 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Or go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Brad Day in studio with us, publisher of WeekendSherpa.com. It's a free weekly email about accessible outdoor adventures in the Bay Area. Peter Fish, editor-at-large of Sunset Magazine, and Rachel Levin, a freelance travel writer who has written for the New York Times, Slate, San Francisco Magazine, and many more. And I'd like to hear some of your favorite getaways. Again, it's always a little bit of an inhibition, like when we do a restaurant show and people don't want to necessarily go on so lavishly that it will be overrun with crowds and the like. But if you have a favorite getaway place, let us know what it is. And if you want to find out about places in different regions of Northern California or find out more about different things, I wanted to find out, and I thought I'd ask Peter Fish about this new phenomenon. Well, not so new phenomenon. You can actually find Airstream trailers up in Petaluma now, in Joshua Tree. I mean, this is sort of becoming in stuff, huh?
It has. The Airstream has just taken off. The cover that we featured in Airstream on last year was like one of the best-selling covers we've ever done, and people just love them. And the kind of original Airstream motel where they gathered a bunch of the trailers, restored trailers, and opened them up to the public was down in Bisbee, Arizona. But yeah, now there are really good ones in Petaluma. There are two in the Joshua Tree vicinity. There's a good one in Santa Barbara. And going through Airbnb, there also you have options of even renting an Airstream and doing it kind of on your own. And
how are things at Joshua Tree now? In general, it's gotten a lot of coverage in terms of concerns and the like.
It's like everywhere else, it has been hit by, the sequestration. And I think that sort of that whole part of the desert has been urban ills have slopped over towards it.
Good way to describe
it, yeah. Said that, it's still a miraculously beautiful place. The Joshua trees are amazing. The rock climbing is amazing. And, the astronomy, the sky watching is amazing. So, it's a park on the fringe of a gigantic urban area, and it has some of those troubles, but it's still well worth going to.
Well, what about if you want to go to Yosemite? Who would like to chime in on that?
There's
camping, Awani, you got to make plans ahead of time, obviously.
There's Far Meadow, which Sunset has featured before, these cute A-frames. And they've recently added Airstreams, a couple of Airstreams as well. It's not right in Yosemite, but it's probably half hour, an hour away. And I think that would be a more intimate option, perhaps, than Curry Village if you're not into that scene.
I'm also, we talked with a few people about travel, and one of them was the publisher of Via Magazine. She was talking about Half Moon Bay with a new tunnel opening, about Healdsburg, about Hindi Redwood State Park near Boonville, coastal towns. I mean, all those things are really out there for people to see. But, you know, what's closest here, and let's just talk about the North Bay for a moment, Angel Island. And Rachel, you were talking about hiking Crown Road in Kentville, which I happen to know, which is really a great hike.
A friend of mine tipped me off to that. She has a dog, and it's one of the best hikes. She takes her dog pretty much every day, even though she lives in San Francisco. She likes to go out there. And she said it was a flat fire road, and I thought, oh, this is how I can get my two kids on a hike. So when they weren't able to walk, I just was able to roll them the entire way, and that was sort of fun for me because I could still, you know, go on a hike. And they had a great time and looking at all the dogs.
Give us another tip. Talk about, just for a moment, Leonard Lake up in Ukiah, which you like, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I think that is a secret spot. It's sort of, it's this basically an off-the-grid, almost campy piece of property with maybe five or so cabins that's usually booked up solid for weddings. But if you call, say, midweek and just perhaps ask for if they have any availability, or if you get 40 friends together, it's super affordable, and it's basically you get your own lake. So I love Lake Tahoe. I love, you know, Bolinas. But here you can have your own lake with a fire pit, canoes, two docks, and it's off sort of a long dirt road in Ukiah, and guaranteed warm weather, obviously, inland there.
And before we get our callers involved in this, Brad Day, could you talk a little bit about Lassen?
Well, Lassen National Park is kind of off the radar for a lot of people in the Bay Area. It's usually like Muir Woods, Yosemite, but Lassen is just kind of like right next to Mount Shasta in that northern part of California that almost seems like a different state. And they have some great new cabins that you can actually rent. I believe Sunset's actually covered those. But it's kind of one of these kid-friendly places, too, where you can do some great day hikes, has awesome wildflowers that come a little bit later in the year. And I think it's just a national park that's a part of California that is definitely worth a trip. I would put Sequoia into that same category. And luckily, now we can put Pinnacles into the same category of these national parks that don't get a lot of traffic, a lot of people visiting, but are absolutely worth the time to go check out.
And let's check out what you, our listeners, have to say or ask about. Let's begin. Teresa, with you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Sonoma County, which is beautiful, and we have a lot of great things here. But I have some friends coming from out of state, and they want to see the redwoods. I'm wondering what are some of the best groves, especially for the big trees, that might not be, you know, a half a day's trip away. I'd like to stay within a couple hours of Santa Rosa. What do you recommend?
Well, you're pretty close to Armstrong right there, which I think gets way less traffic than
Muir Woods. Yeah, Muir Woods is become a little bit like Disneyland during the week. I mean, it's just too much of
shuttle
a big
buses,
tourist area.
Yeah.
There's another one from you, Brad? Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite redwood groves is Butano State Park, which is down by Pescadero on the San Mateo coast. They're second growth redwood trees, but it's got an awesome hike that you can do called the Milox Loop that goes for 5 miles, goes kind of right next to some redwood trees along a fern grove.
Is it pronounced Butano?
It's Butano or Butano. I hear it both ways, so you can go either way on it, but it's fantastic. Great redwood trees. Doesn't see a lot of people, and it's right next to Pescadero, which is a charming little coastal community.
We got some great ways to go here, Teresa. Good luck. Enjoy. And thank you for the call. Let me go to another caller here, and that's Lori. Good morning. Lori, hi.
Good morning. I wanted to go back towards the Sierra. We used to have a cabin up in above Butte Meadows, above Chico, actually. And if you're in the valley in the dead of summer when it's 110 down in Chico, it's always about 20 degrees or 15 degrees cooler at about 7,000 feet, and there's some great camping up in that canyon that not many people go to Cherry Hill Campground, and if you keep going, you meet the Pacific Crest Trail, and you can find some interesting camping and great views of Lassen.
Yeah, Peter Fish.
Yeah, I mean, the far northern part of the Sierras is, you know, really magnificent and underused, and you get the whole Feather River Canyon up there. And you get, you know, phenomenally good camping. And then a little bit south of that is absolutely one of my favorite places in California, which is the Lakes Basin area, which is, you know, really good, you know, camping, some lodges scattered around, just charming. And then actually on the other side of the Sierras, on the eastern side, is Quincy, which I think is one of the kind of undersung charming mountain towns in California. Just really pretty and great hiking nearby.
And let me thank the caller. And Tom sends this email in. He says, I love the first few hikes mentioned in today's show, including Tomales Point, Mont Diablo, and Montam. But since I became a dog owner 7 years ago, I can't return to these places, at least with my close companion. Can your guests recommend places that are also dog-friendly? And for those looking for wildflowers and wilderness without leaving the city, McLaren Park in the southeastern corner is bursting in colors right now, and it features miles of trails through woods and meadows. Plus, it has unparalleled views of San Francisco, and it's accessible by Muni, number 29. Okay, anybody want to weigh in here on dog-friendly places?
Dog-friendly's tough. I have a dog as well, and a lot of the state parks they don't allow dogs. So you got to kind of, especially if you're going to like Mount Tamalpais, you have to know if you're going to a state park or is it the municipal water district. Just did a hike last weekend that was on the Marin Municipal Water District that goes from the Rock Springs staging area over to Laurel Dell and Cataract Falls. And that isn't state park, which means you can actually take your dog on that part of it. So it's really kind of a matter of making sure you're paying attention to signs. But if you don't want to do that, you just want to go to a place that's really dog friendly. I mean, Lake Tahoe, actually, in the summertime, it's a lot of national forest in that area, and a lot of people have their dogs on the trails, and it's totally fine. And
I think you can still take dogs up in places like Alpine Lake and Lake Lagunitas and Phoenix Lake, can't you, up in the North Bay?
Yeah, those are Marin Municipal Water District areas, and dog friendly for sure.
If you'd like to join us, by the way, you can do that now. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Our email address, forum@kqed.org. And Bill writes, Senator Feinstein has introduced a bill in Congress to expand part of the western edge of Yosemite National Park by 1,575 acres. Does anyone know what natural attractions are in the proposed addition? And if the bill is approved, what camping possibilities it may provide? I think that's you, Peter Fish.
So far as I know, it's why they acquired it is it does have some good stands of giant redwoods and was an area that John Muir wanted to be part of the park right from the get-go. But in terms of, you know, potential camping, I think that's a long way down the road. It has to get approved and purchased and then planned. And so where camping, I'm sure there would, you know, obviously they're going to make it accessible to people in terms of hiking trails, but whether there would be camping options there, I don't know whether the Park Service has gotten that far.
And Robert writes, the last thing I want to do after spending a week in traffic is get on a freeway. I live in Brisbane at the foot of the San Bruno Mountain. Just a editorial comment, I guess. We'll continue to get more comments from you and questions. Feel free to join us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, or tweet us. Twitter handles at KQED Forum, or go to our Facebook, our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment talking with Peter Fish, editor-at-large of Sunset Magazine, Rachel Levin, who is a freelance travel writer, and Brad Day, who is publisher of WeekendSherpa.com. And you can get involved in this program. It's live, it's interactive, and we welcome your calls, emails, and postings on the web and the like. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is the Forum program. I'm Michael Krasny, your usually genial host, and we're talking about places to go, places to hike, places to see. Warm weather getaways as we particularly move toward the summer. We've had some really seasonably warm weather, unseasonably warm weather for April. It was like summer the last few days. Seems to be more of a chill in the air now. But finding out places really to go in Northern California and answering your questions about them. With us in studio, Rachel Levin, who's a freelance travel writer, Peter Fish, who's editor-at-large of Sunset Magazine, and Brad Day, publisher of WeekendSherpa.com. And you can join the program by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or Alternatively, go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. You know, Pinnacles was mentioned, and I'm not sure who wants to talk about this, but maybe somebody can. It's a new national park and it's close by. A lot of people don't know much about it. Who can tell us more here? Who would like to tell us more, Brett? Yeah.
I went to Pinnacles about 2 years ago, and it's a crazy kind of place. It's kind of small. There isn't a lot there. They have like a little visitor center on the eastern side, but there's just spectacular hikes, especially actually wildflowers. If we go back to that, that's a fantastic place to go over the next few weeks with the wildflower thing. And they also are home to California condors. About 30 of them call Pinnacles home, and they kind of cruise between Pinnacles and Big Sur. This kind of like their stretch or their sky highway. And it's really a nice place to see, get the distinction of being a national park. It's only about an hour or so inland from Monterey, and it's definitely worth a visit.
Well, Peter,
if I can chime in for a second, one of the other things I think is really cool about Pinnacles is it's probably the best place in the state to see the San Andreas Fault and sort of what it's done, because it runs right through the park, and it's where the two plates you sort of are grinding against each other and moving so that the rock formations don't match up because of that. And some of the trails, take you to the evidence of faulting. And it's just, you know, again, from a geology standpoint, it's an absolutely fascinating place.
I've often heard, and not that many people do this hike, but Hetch Hetchy is really a remarkable hike in terms of just the vistas and what you see up there and so forth.
It is. It has sort of a, you know, taint, I think, among a lot of people because it's the place that was dammed to bring water to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Having said that, the reservoir is there nonetheless. Wonderful hiking, good wildflowers. You can get to a waterfall at the end of the trail. It's a gorgeous place and much less used than other parts of Yosemite. So it probably should be on a bucket list if you're a Californian, just because of the huge role it played sort of in the history of the state, but also because even now it's a genuinely gorgeous place.
Well, Peter was talking a little bit off mic about a showdown between his Labrador Retriever. We're both Labrador guys. And was it a cougar?
Two coyotes.
Coyote, I'm sorry.
Park. Yeah.
And, you know, people get concerned about coyotes and mountain lions and even other sorts of potentially dangerous animals of that sort. I mean, is there any place that you would really send out a warning flare about?
I mean, I've seen mountain lions just on Tennessee Valley, which is probably
Some people would run to Tennessee Valley thinking they could see a mountain lion. I don't mean to make it seem like it's all bad, but you know, a lot of people are concerned and apprehensive. Yeah.
Sunset is kind of like the time when they are the most active, or just, you know, as it's kind of approaching dusk. Was hiking around just the interior of Point Reyes a few months ago with my wife and my dog. And we saw up on the ridge a big animal with a really long tail. And when we stopped and kind of got our eyes on a little bit longer, noticed that it was a mountain lion. And it was kind of like maybe a quarter of a mile away, but it was had its eyes locked on us and our little dog. So that it kind of freaks you out a little bit because they
you
move
should have
fast.
Peter's Labrador.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was about, you know, a few minutes after sunset that wow. happened.
Let me bring more calls on. Daniel, you're on One Forum. Good morning.
Hi, how are you? I'm Michael. I've listened to Forum forever and never called in before, though I support KQED and public radio. I've been in California hiking for 25 years, and my mother is in New York, visits regularly, is an avid hiker, but at 80 years old has some significant walking disability. And I am beyond my repertoire of what we can now do, new places that are pretty flat and perhaps no more than a half a mile where you get good new things to see.
I mean, I think Tennessee Valley,
Rachel
even
Levin.
Though it is quite popular, if you go
it's
early,
very popular,
really popular, but there is a paved, I don't know if she's in a wheelchair or if she, you know, just doesn't walk well over roots and rocks, but it begins paved and you still have the beauty. So if you go, I would say at 7 a.m., it could be a lovely walk and pretty accessible.
Tennessee Valley and the Nimitz Trail in the Berkeley Hills. We've done both of those several times. I'm looking for even new options, other options.
Well, I think we've got a caller here who may be able to answer your question, Daniel, and that's Gwen, who's joining us from Pacifica. Gwen, you're on. Hi.
Hi. Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to do a local shout-out to Pacifica's Maury Point. It's a beautiful spot, you know, 10 minutes away from downtown San Francisco. It has beautiful wildflowers this time of year. The Park Service has done a nice job of working on the trails. They've got a nice new boardwalk that goes over the frog ponds that's pretty accessible. I mean, it's not paved, but it has a nice gradual walking trail up to the bluff that you get spectacular views of the ocean and the flowers. It's really a remarkable spot that I think people don't even realize is there. It's dog friendly on leash, and the trail now can go all the way down to Lindemar Beach, all the way up, and it's really worth the spot for anyone looking to get away just for a couple minutes to see our beautiful coastline and the flowers.
Well, that'll work for the last caller. Brad, would you want to add something too?
Yeah, it's actually also it's a good place to go whale watching over the next few weeks. It's a fantastic place for that, and if you climb up to the very top of the little hill at Maury Point, there's somebody had built a labyrinth similar to the one that's at Land's End. If you've ever checked out that labyrinth, it's kind of an unofficial kind of thing, but it's beautiful, and it kind of is a nice way to relax when you're in the outdoors. And of course, it's next to Gorilla Barbecue, which if you've ever had some good barbecue, that it goes toe-to-toe with any of the barbecue I've had.
Actually, getting a lot of listener questions along these lines. I'm looking at an email here from Charlie who says, when young, I was an avid hiker, haven't owned a car since 1980, but as I age, a genetic disability limits my hiking ability with fatigue, so I cannot go far. What would you recommend for wildflowers and birds? Without going far, I guess.
Gold Gate Park. I mean, right in the botanical garden, there's tons. They actually have a native California flowers exhibit right inside there that is just phenomenal. Has tons of Douglas iris, California poppies.
It's also got some exotic plants, too.
And it does.
It's an excellent
suggestion. All over. You can, like, travel the world in that little, in that garden. It's actually not that little. It's quite big, but that's a great spot to go.
Right off 280, actually, on the way down to Sunset, my friend and I would pull over and do a morning run, and the wildflowers, I'm sure, are just outrageous there right now. Mm. It's called Edgewood. It's literally right off 280, so it doesn't even add more than 2 minutes to your commute before work down to the peninsula, and you could just walk for, you know, about an hour or so, and the wildflowers are pretty amazing. You just hear the ever so silent hum of traffic in the.
And for an easy kind of flat hike, I don't think you can do better really than Land's End, especially with all the improvements that the Park Service have put in. But, you know, you go to the new parking lot, or you can park also by the USS San Francisco parking lot and just take the trail along Land's End. It's flat, and you get those just phenomenal views of the bay and the bridge. And
Excellent
it's a nice, easy hike.
And more calls. This is Brent. Good morning, Brent.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I wanted to say that the Grand Canyon of the Tuolumne, which you guys kind of already talked about with Hetch Hetchy, is probably one of the best places to go.
We've been talking about California, but the Grand Canyon should be seen.
Grand Canyon of the Tuolumne.
Oh, the Tuolumne. Right. I thought you were talking about Arizona. I'm sorry.
No. It's just up from Hetch Hetchy. But for one that I haven't heard yet was Henry Coe in the Bay Area. It's a great resource that not many people use.
Good suggestions. You know that area, Rachel, yeah?
Well, I've just driven past it most recently, maybe last summer, and saw some fire coming from that area. But otherwise, I have not been there.
It's probably it's one of the best trailheads, I think, of all the state parks.
And beautiful flowers, I hear.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. And good tarantulas in the fall if you're trying to spot some wild
tarantulas.
Yeah.
What about Santa Cruz Mountains, though?
Well, that's also good for wildflowers. I mean, Highway 35, Skyline Boulevard is just open space areas on all sides, like everywhere. And Russian Ridge,
that's
open
my
space, that's a terrific spot. You're at about 2,500 feet high, so you can get some nice views to the west of Half Moon Bay and over to the east of the bay. And great wildflowers. And if you're into combining that with some wine tasting, Thomas Fogarty Winery isn't too far away, so it kind of makes for a nice day trip.
Go with some more emails. Sari writes, I would like to introduce my children to natural hot springs. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, let's see. I don't know how natural it feels when you're there, but it is. Indian Springs up in Calistoga is sort of a lovely place to go and escape just for the afternoon in that pool there. Are kids allowed?
I think so. I think Calistoga is going to be your best bet in terms of someplace close that's nice.
Yeah. So that spot, whether you're with kids.
Judy knows a lot about these hot spots. She says kids are allowed. and here's Dave who says, Castle Rock to the Sea is a great overnight hike. Leave Castle Rock on Skyline Boulevard, hike to Big Basin, reserve overnight campsite. Next morning, down to the sea at Rancho Del Oso. Leave a car.
I love the coastal part of Big Basin, the Rancho Del Oso area. I think it's just so beautiful and, you know, really different from the kind of core of the park. But it's just this gorgeous coastal valley. It's really special.
More of your calls. Let me go to Jeremy next. Jeremy, join us.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a guy who likes to hike with his dog, so I'm always looking for great spots. And I discovered a couple of years ago that where Yosemite ends, it becomes the Emigrant Wilderness. And I don't know if many people understand that there you can bring dogs. It's no longer the national park in name, but it is in beauty, just like Yosemite. So Emigrant Wilderness, I don't want to give out my favorite secret spots, but do some research about the Emigrant Wilderness if you like to camp or hike with dogs. And finally, down in San Jose, just over the hills to the east is Joseph Grant Park, and it's just a short drive from downtown San Jose, about 20 minutes, really beautiful drive. And you drop into this valley, and there's this park that no one uses with all kinds of trails, all kinds of neat wilderness, and you can have your dog there, no problem. So Joseph Grant Park and the Emigrant Wilderness are
Jeremy,
things,
those are excellent recommendations, but do you know where Emigrant Wilderness gets its name?
I could only guess, but I'd love you to tell me.
No, I don't know. That wasn't a trivia question. It was just something that popped into my own
no,
inquisitive nature. And now all too often you just get the answer from Google, but I thought you might know. Thank you. Somebody may want to email it into us. Elizabeth says, all East Bay parks are extremely dog-friendly, allowing dogs off-leash as long as you have them under voice command. Lake Del Valle offers a great campground and hiking with your furry best friend. Make sure to scoop up what...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always give out that advice, seriously. And Gibson is our next caller. Gibson, welcome.
Hi. I am the publisher and editor of a magazine, Edible Moran and Wine Country. We cover Moran, Napa, and Sonoma. And in our current issue, the spring issue, which has a dairy theme, we have a full feature on agrotourism, which really took off in Europe. And of course, you know, our area should be at the forefront of it here. So if you go to our website, which is ediblemoranandwinecountry.com, you can find that article on agritourism, and it talks about farm stays and places you can go and learn to make cheese, like Point Reyes Farm and Cheese Company and Point Reyes. You can go and check out oyster farming at Dog Island. And there's so many things you can do. You can stay on farms. You could have your wedding on farms. You just go visit it for the day. So I highly recommend getting out and seeing where your food comes from.
Thanks. I actually just went the other day on one of the new farm and food tours from West Marin Food and Farm Tours. This woman, Elizabeth Hill, just started those up, and she's offering some great tours to the oyster farms or the cheese. Lover's Day, or I think she'll soon be starting her ranchers ranch outing. So she's quite knowledgeable, and it's partnered up with the local artisans and farmers in West Marin. And I believe McAvoy Ranch also started offering
they
orchard
do.
Walks
they
and
have
things.
Special days. Malt orders offers farm tours on certain days, and most all of those are kid friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Any other recommendations from you, Gibson, before we say goodbye?
Gosh, you know, I think oysters is something that's so special, and to be able to get out and actually look and see where the oysters are being grown in our bays is really a unique opportunity. They do a great job at Point Reyes Farmstead Cheese Company with their cooking classes, and it's just gorgeous to see. You get a tour of the dairy itself. Anywhere really in Point Reyes, I mean, you could just spend the day going up the coast. There are so many places out here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that call. Good to hear from you. And Patricia, we hear from, who writes us via email, the Pinnacles is one of my favorite places to camp and hike. Dramatic scenery. Also, it is possibly not as crowded as Point Reyes. As I live in Point Reyes Station, I want to direct people away from here, especially on pleasant weekends. It gets very crowded. Terrence writes, while you're talking about the wonders of Point Reyes, you might want to mention that the Point Reyes Birding and Nature Festival is this weekend. And for more information, go to pointreyesbirdingfestival.org. Thank you for that. Another listener, Nancy, writes, please slow down and repeat the information. What location are you talking about in Ukiah? What's the name of the site? The campsite with A-frames in Tahoe? Where is it? Many of us don't know these places, so please repeat the names! Exclamation mark.
Well, Ukiah, I was talking about Leonard Lake Reserve, which is an off-the-grid property with about five or six rustic cabins that you can take over for a weekend. And Far Meadow, F-A-R, Far Meadow, near Yosemite, is the spot there.
And a couple of comments from another listener. A warning. As a resident of Sausalito, San Francisco folks must be warned that any time after 11 a.m. on a sunny weekend, the roads to Point Reyes are jammed. And also a point here from that same listener. I've been planning a trip to Eastern Sierra region to introduce my wife to this beautiful, majestic area. Two stops on my trip will be Sorensen's Resort, cabins, wood-burning sauna, and good food, 20 miles south of Lake Tahoe, and the Mammoth Lakes area, camping, boating, and swimming.
Both wonderful places. Sorensen is just fabulous.
And we'll get some more callers on. Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I was born and raised in Yosemite. Beautiful area there. I got to climb Shasta in the winter a couple of years ago, and I went back there in the summer. But I got a score on a really good job in Sausalito at the Headlands Institute as a cook there. And with my kids, I know this sounds kind of off the wall, but you guys got a really good city. I hate cities. I can't stand them, but San Francisco is just fabulous. It's an incredibly beautiful place. So we had a big map on our living room wall, and I would get a dart, and I'd just throw it at one of the streets, and it would land there. And we would drive the car over to that street where the dart landed, drop the car off there, and go wander off into the city and get completely lost, and then try to find our car again.
The old proverbial dart way of sightseeing.
There's actually newly improved trails right off my street on Stanion. I don't want to drive hordes of people to my street, but it is pretty special, the UCSF Sutro Forest Trails. So you can get a bit of Marin in the city. And if you're coming from, Lafayette or the hot hills of the East Bay, it's sort of a nice respite. Would be a little cooler and still a good hike in the city.
Dave is calling us from St. Helena, which, of course, also has some beautiful hiking areas.
Absolutely. I'm looking at a fabulous, incredibly beautiful view right now. I'm outside working, but, you just can't beat it. California's got it all. And
chauvinistic, but true. And thank you for the call. What about, a caller wanted to know about places accessible by public transportation, and he's especially interested in trout fishing and doesn't have a car. Any thoughts, Brad?
Well, in celebration of Earth Day and public transportation, I don't know if there's necessarily trout fishing, but the Muni 76 bus goes right from downtown San Francisco across the Golden Gate Bridge and to Rodeo Beach or Fort Cronkite. So you can do a nice little walk around the lagoon, or you can go just hang out on Rodeo Beach, or you can actually do a pretty good hike going up to Hill 88 and back down again. And that is, for the price of admission, it's a ticket on Muni. And so it only runs, I think, on weekends, I believe it's the 76 Muni Headlands bus. So keep an eye out for that.
And Olga wants to know about swimming areas you might recommend in the Sierras or in lakes other than Lake Tahoe.
Bass Lake, Point Reyes. We keep coming back to Point Reyes. Bass Lake is a cool little lake. It almost seems like you could be in the Sierra when you go to Bass Lake. It's about a 4-mile hike from a Palomarin trailhead in Bolinas. And lots of people go swimming in there. There's like a rope swing that sometimes is up, sometimes is down, sometimes is up, sometimes is down. But it's a great little spot to just lay a towel, bring a blanket, and go swimming in the lake.
And Peter Fish, didn't you write about Huntington Lake?
Yeah, there are a couple of lakes in the Sierras I'd recommend. Huntington Lake, which is above Fresno, nice, largest lake, great for sailing. It's actually a big sailing mecca, but also good for swimming. And then one of my absolute favorites, a smaller, somewhat warmer lake, Silver Lake, which is on the way to Ebbets Pass and has this wonderful sort of old-fashioned, knotty pine kind of lake resort called the Kit Carson Lodge. But it's been redone. It's really comfortable, not too expensive. Got a nice little beach, cold water, but not as cold as the water at Ocean Beach. And it's a great place to hang out on kind of a sunny summer weekend.
Let's bring some more callers on. John, you're next. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to give a shout-out for Henry Cowell State Park down in Felton. It's a great place to take kids with the steam train logging camp right nearby. It's close to Santa Cruz, so you could go down to Natural Bridges for the beach on a hot day, or go see the monarchs if it's that season.
It's a very good suggestion, yeah. Thank you. I go down sometimes to Esalen Institute, and I think that whole area around Big Sur.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Just, yeah.
Can't say enough about it. Joseph says, my favorite hike is Alum Rock Park along the Diablo Range in San Jose, and after just a short drive, Silicon Valley disappears, and you're enveloped in a lush and tranquil landscape. Alice says, I love having friends and family visiting. Enjoy the Coloma Lotus Valley and rafting on the South Fork of the American River. Within a few miles radius are excellent wineries, the Marshall Gold Discovery State Historic Park, and Wakamatsu, the first Japanese colony in the United States. Great camping and local campgrounds and outdoor cafes make it such a fun place to visit.
That was going to be on my bucket list. I feel that Marshall Park is just this, it's this place you think you have to go because it's important to California history, but it's a charming little hot park with really good spring hiking. It's a fine place.
Nicole writes on our website, can your guests, any of them comment on good places in the Bay Area for large group camping?
Well, I mean,
that's a perplexed look.
Well, we always used to talk about Tree Bones a lot at sunset. We love it there. But you could sort of – they have camp sites right on the cliffs that I think are pricier than typical campgrounds. They maybe might be about around $50. But you could reserve those and then also reserve some yurts and maybe try to take
you
over.
You mentioned Tree Bones? What
Tree Bones is on the southern end of Big Sur, and it's basically has the views of Post Ranch Inn, you know, for probably – fraction of the price, really. It's yurts and campsites.
And, you know, Costa Nova on the Santa Cruz, Santa Mateo County border on the coast is a similar kind of operation, luxury camping, suitable for big groups. But also, you know, the tent cabins at Big Basin are not bad if you can get them reserved, you know, well enough, in advance enough to book, you know, a bunch of tent cabins together. And that's a great place for kids, too, and lots of different kinds of hiking. So,
we'll give you some great suggestions from our panel here and also from listeners. A listener writes on our website, for accessibility, try Armstrong Woods. They have a special trail that is very easy. Also, Braille signage. And some of our listeners on Twitter shared their favorite warm weather getaways. Rebecca writes, Pacific Grove, Asilomar with kids. Must also give a shout-out to the Eastern Sierra's June Lake. Convict Lake is stunning. Justin tweets, Big Tree State Park. And Ruskin, writes, a little-known Redwood Grove lies just west of Ukiah, Montgomery Woods State Reserve, peaceful with towering giants. And we'll get more of your calls. We go to Fremont. Inga, you're on. Hi.
Hi, Michael. Great program. I love it. One site, which is east of Yosemite.
What's the name of it again? I'm sorry?
Mono Lake.
Oh, Mono Lake. Yeah, yeah, that's a beautiful place.
And I thought it was the most magical sunset view I've ever seen. It was like on the moon somewhere. I couldn't believe the height. How beautiful it was.
Yeah, thank you. It is beautiful there. And thank you for that contribution. We're going to get as many on here as we can. Let me get Bill on next. Bill, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I had originally called about Costa Nova. I've never stayed there. I live in La Honda, which is not far off. But they have great facilities, a nice restaurant. But they also have trails that lead right down to a beautiful coastal beach from there. And you're right next to Año Nuevo with the elephant seals. I've never stayed there, but also I wanted to bring up one thing. At Pinnacles, starting about now through fall, when it cools down, the flies are a big issue. And Huntington Lake, still nothing's open up there until May. It's important that people know that. It's up high. It's beautiful. But it's windy. So I just thought I'd comment on some stuff I was listening to while I was waiting. But Costa Nova looks really cool to me. They also have RV and tent camping.
Brad, you were going to say something here?
Yeah, it's also like the only game in town on the San Mateo coast. There isn't a lot of options. There is another place, though, that I think doesn't get a lot of attention, but I think is very cool, and that's the Pigeon Point Lighthouse, which is actually even closer to Año Nuevo. And they have... It's a hostel, but you can also get your own room if you want. And so that kind of brings in more of the hotel type accommodation. So you're not bunking or dorming with somebody. But the other cool thing about Pigeon Point is it has probably the best hot tub I've ever seen on the bay. It's like right on the edge overlooking the Pacific. And, you know, you can just see the waves crashing. If you're lucky, maybe see a gray whale. I mean, who knows?
How does the lighthouse compare, since we've mentioned Point Reyes probably more than any place during the course of this hour, to the lighthouse out there, the one at Pigeon Point?
It's not as dramatic, perhaps, as Point Reyes, because Point Reyes does stick out so far into the ocean. But it's an old lighthouse, and it's surrounded by open space. And it's just a great – I just love old lighthouses in general, just to go explore and see if you can – do a tour up to the top.
And while you're down in the Pescadero area, Harley Farms, which has great cheese, now also has close to 180 baby goats. So that could be fun to check out.
Yeah, it'd be fun to take kids up and have them spend time with the baby goats. Well, this is you've been really good giving us this insight into the cornucopia of outdoor delights here in California. We're spoiled here. It's an embarrassment of riches. And thank you all for participating. I'm appreciative of your being here with us and for your good work. In fact, let's talk about who these guests are again and what they do. Brad Day is a publisher of WeekendSherpa.com. It's a free weekly email about accessible outdoor adventures in the Bay Area, and just get it online. Peter Fish is editor-at-large of Sunset Magazine, and Rachel Levin is a freelance travel writer, former senior travel writer, or editor at Sunset, and her work has appeared all over the country. Thank you all for being with us. Appreciate it again, and thank you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We're here with you every Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Leave in a lot of callers. I'm sorry. I wish we could have time for all of you. You can continue this on our website, though, just by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Forum's produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.